In the first session, we looked at this parable found in Luke 8, verse 5 to 15, of the sower. We got to a point where we looked at the basic foundation of what has to be said before we look at the context of Christ's interpretation of what he said in the beginning. But I'd like you all to just listen carefully once again as we just go over that passage of 10 verses, Luke 8 verse 5 to 15. Just listen carefully in the light, remembering the things we've covered verse by verse, so we don't lose ground now. A sower, Jesus said, a sower went out to sow his seed. His seed. That committed to him by God, which is now his responsibility to not fail God, but to spread. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, that's very vital. As he preached, some fell by the wayside, the trodden footpath which runs along the side of the plowed field. As he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock. Some, as he was spreading the seed, fell upon a rock. Mark says, in his account of the parable, in Mark 4, verse 15, no, in Matthew 13, verse 5, Matthew says, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. Some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. It lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it. The thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit. 100-fold, 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing, they might not see, and hearing, they might not understand. Now, the parable is this: the seed The seed is the Word of God. The Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. They that hear. They that hear. They that hear. Then cometh the devil. Mark says in chapter 4, verse 15, Satan cometh immediately. Immediately. And taketh away the word out of their hearts. Out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy. Receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe. And in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns, are they. They which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience, A sower went out to sow his seed. Now the whole first part of the sermon, we considered the sower, what he faces, what's expected of him, what he will do, and what will happen to him if he does do it faithfully. But what his life is consumed to do. We looked at the sower, the qualifications, the essential qualifications required before one dares to, otherwise he becomes, if he attempts to without the qualifications, he becomes the enemy of God while he holds a Bible. He has to become that. A sower, though, went out to sow his seed. We looked at that. The seed is the word of God. We looked at the word of God, how through this and this alone, God, by the preaching, the foolishness of preaching, God saves souls. So don't divert to too much entertainment, okay? Or means that the other media is used. This is it. This is God's way. Don't replace it with any other way. Ever, Church of Christ. Listen. We looked at the sower. We looked at the word, the seed. what it does if it's sown in truth. The seed is the Word of God. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, as he was sowing, as he was spreading the Word of God, as he sowed, some fell. Happening right now, by the wayside. And it was trodden down. And the fowls of the air devoured it. Now in his interpretation to the disciples, he says, those by the wayside are they that hear. That means he's speaking about you. Through the basest of preachers, those by the wayside are they that hear. They that hear. Then, when? Then cometh the devil. Satan cometh immediately. Brace yourselves. Immediately. Then cometh the devil to take and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Can the devil do that? Can the devil stop a man who's listening, who hears the gospel of Christ preached with no compromise, who hears the word of God as God intended it? Can the devil stop a man who's listening, who hears the truth? Can the devil stop a man now from seeking God to save his soul from hell? Oh yes, Satan can do that. But how? How can he do that? How can he stop a man? Oh, Satan is a terrible foe. Don't give him glory, but don't be so stupid as to not know his devices and know with whom you have to deal and get protection in Ephesians 6, verse 10, etc. to stand against this, even to survive against this enemy. Oh, be careful. Satan is a terrible foe of the souls of men. Satan cometh immediately. He's not going to stand back and see you watching, you listening to the gospel of Christ and your heart stirred and do nothing. He comes immediately. Satan cometh immediately. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But how does he do that? Well, Satan will use any means available to him. Satan will use any means available to him to do that. Take the word out of your heart, and you'll be stunned how much Satan has available to use in this meeting. Don't you believe that? Do you honestly think he's just going to sit back and do nothing if he finds means available to take the word out of your heart, lest they should believe and be saved? Oh, then you have no idea of the power of Satan. Satan will use any means available to him, and you'll be stunned how much is available to him. He can use your best friend. Your closest friend could actually be your worst enemy. Your closest friend could actually be your worst enemy in the light of eternity. If he or she is available for Satan to use right now, or immediately after this meeting, after you've heard. If they can be used to take the word out of your heart, to somehow take it out, lest you will believe and be saved now that you've heard. Listen, he has to find means. Any means available. Your best friend, your closest friend could be your worst enemy. I don't know how many meetings I've been in the last 38 years of preaching. I don't know how many meetings I've been in where I've just suddenly become conscious of the devil using people. I don't know how many times from a young preacher I've sat in meetings where suddenly I'm conscious of a boy, one boy, That's all the devil needed. He wasn't there for God, he was there to play the fool. And every single person around him, his friends, they didn't listen. They were too busy being disturbed by him. Do you honestly think that was just an innocent little thing? It was Satan who found the means available to him. You make yourself available to the devil in a meeting, you'll be stunned what you can find happening in meetings. To take the word out of... I watched a boy from a godly home, again and again, everyone around him in any meeting, all giggling. And there you watch him kicking the girl's feet or just something, and everybody's all... While people preach on hell, weeping from the pulpit, faithfully just pouring into the... And every single person around him that he's influencing, they can't accept the word and truth. They immediately, while it's being preached, it's taken away out of their heart by one means available. I doubt that anyone around him will be in heaven one day. Oh, by the way, I warned him one day, and just moments later he was dead, as I warned him. And he went off just in fury. He was dead. He lay dying, his whole body chopped in half. Don't play the fool with God. Don't play the fool with God, young person. Be careful. You don't play the fool with God too long if it keeps others, if Satan's using you. Be careful. I've seen a minister's son, a godly minister's son, mocking the preacher, mocking the preaching to such a degree, despising. There was a despising mocking, and all the young men around him laughing, weeping every time. I read once of Paul writing about people attached to the church at Corinth, attached to the church, who despised him. But now listen to why. They mocked him because of his speech, the way he preached. They despised his delivery, his way of preaching. They despised Paul. They mocked me because of my speech that was in weakness, but consumed. I mean, who could have preached like Paul? With what authority? And there were men back then who despised the way he preached, the way he spoke. They mocked him back then. Do you think they won't now, with lesser men than Paul? And I wonder to what degree these people who despise young people in meetings, getting everybody weeping. I've seen weeping with laughter, not just hidden, but totally, totally despising, and to the point they weep with laughter at their mocking and despising of this man's way of preaching. Even if he came in weakness, he came consumed, prepared, anointed, longing. But Satan found. I doubt that anyone ever sitting around that boy or weeping with him could have taken one word preached in truth to their hearts that wasn't taken out by the devil when he found the means available to him. He can use, and he will, any means available to take the word out of your heart once you've heard it, before you can reach out to God in truth and be saved. He's desperate. He won't wait. He'll come anywhere, anything available. He's going to use. He can come through your family. The members of a man's house. A man's enemies are the members of his own household, Jesus said. A man's enemies. Now, if Jesus says you've got an enemy, you don't know what an enemy is until you find one in your own house. How many times hasn't the devil just found the means? I remember a young boy sitting, just drinking and everything about as I preached. To such a degree, he stood out. And I remember seeing his face so beaten, it was almost like a pulp, that his father had taken that boy and punched him with every bit of force, as if it was a grown man with hatred, punching that boy's face, screaming, "I'll beat God out of you! I'll beat God out of you!" That boy landed up a criminal all his life, most of his life in jail. Be careful, you that are available to Satan, what you do to stop your children. Watch what will happen to them if you let the devil use you. He comes immediately. Oh, how many members of homes, of the household, are the real enemies, a man's soul's enemy. If they try in every way, in any way, to withhold you, and how many people have had to pay great price, lose their families totally to choose Christ. How many have I not known? I'm not talking about a few. Across this world, across my nation alone, so many multitudes. I wonder what percentage didn't lose everyone. You think everybody just came to Christ because you have a happy home bringing you more up in the fear of God? But wait, you wanted to see the broader church of Christ that didn't have the things you've had from the beginning, that came to Christ and what they had to, but oh, what they had to choose. I've seen women so smashed up by a man who never touched them in respect until they began to see Christ. I've seen women, you cannot believe what the husband turned and did when suddenly it was revealed they're going to lose them to Christ. They became, through believing this, they lose everything. They lose the right to see their children. And how many husbands have said, choose between Christ or me and the children, because if you choose Christ, you lose these children. I won't let them near you. You will not have them. I'll fight to make sure of that. How many women have I known, and men, Muslim men, who were told straight, choose Christ or lose everyone. Satan cometh immediately. And everyone in that family stood there making that choice also. To be used of the devil. Thank God for the multitudes who are willing to lose everyone and everything of their loved ones. I've met so many who never ever spoke another word in their lives to their children the day they chose Christ. They weren't allowed to, or they were threatened with death by religious leaders of other religions. Oh, Satan cometh immediately. He can use a Christian to take the word out of your heart. I mean, you hear the word and you know someone's truly saved, someone who brought you, but how many Christians haven't been on guard? And someone now is in that building, someone's actually listening to the gospel of Christ, and they know you're Christian. The devil orchestrates things that he knows are your weakness. Suddenly he realizes there's a weak thing I can get, and you think he doesn't know how to work it, that the person who's suddenly hearing the word of God, who suddenly can seek God, isn't just there where he knows, and he orchestrates, and you aren't on your guard, and you fail. And this person looks and says, "Oof. Well, if this is Christianity I don't want," and the devil takes the word out of their hearts through you. To Christians who just weren't guarding themselves. Do you think the devil won't use you? Are you available for the devil to use to keep souls from seeking God once they've heard the word of God? People you've been brought to meetings. Are you on guard? Are you tender with God? Christians who tell others about Jesus and they know, and you're the means by which the devil orchestrates what you didn't know he was going to, and you fall. And don't think he hasn't got the power to make sure everyone that you're trying to influence is there, right there. He'll even put the cushions down where he knows you're going to fall, if he knows you're not tender with God as you should be. He can use preachers. He can use preachers who poured themselves faithfully from the pulpit. And then they didn't do what Paul says after they've preached. They thought, well, now I can rest. No, that's when you've got a guard, brother. Oh, that's not the end of the battle, the preaching and the... Oh, he can use preachers who didn't, like Paul, bring their bodies under subjection, their whole life under the discipline, now that they preach, lest that by any means when I've preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I've got to be under such a... Get tender with God. Stay such in touch with God for grace now, if you dare to preach. Or if the devil can just get you to fall. What a terrible stench to someone who has any reputation of wisdom. Just a little folly. That's all the devil needs from you. To make multitudes stumble over you. That by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway, Paul said. I bring myself under such a discipline of life to protect myself and others. And what will happen to all that I preach to when I fall? Well, just look at the public newspapers across the world. when preachers of repute have fallen into sin, do you honestly think they run by Christians? They'll kind of do it discreetly. They will drain out the last drench of blood to bring damage to the kingdom, because they're not God's children. Don't think the children of God run the media. Just give them half a chance if you're famous. And what of the millions who know, listen to you, the seed has been there as they've listened to your stand for God? What? How many millions haven't said, well, that's Christianity? And they just turn their back forever. Oh, he can use preachers who don't realize you've got to be in such a disciplined life once you've preached. Preacher, you take that responsibility. You have the responsibility of the souls now, not when you walk from the pulpit, but to stay real when you walk from that pulpit. That you're not the means by which they will turn from God forever. If they say, oh, he taketh away the word immediately. He finds any means available. Are you available, Satan? Are you available for Satan to use? Preachers of truth, Christians who truly are born again, who aren't guarding against the weaknesses you have in the orchestrated circumstance of the devil. He can use liberal theologians, and he does. Oh, they think they said, serving God, but liberal theologians who have theology coming out of their been through all sorts, you know, and they can tell you the Hebrew and the Greek to explain why it doesn't mean that or this and this. Be careful, the devil, he doesn't come with horns, he appears as an angel of light. God warns us, and so don't be in any way surprised when his ministers are like angels of light. Be careful, they'll come like angels of light. But to take, they'll come with theology, they'll come with explanations, they'll come with Greek to tell you why it doesn't mean what you've just heard. To undermine, he'll send them. If they're available, he'll use any means available. Tell me, liberal theologians, are you available for Satan to use? To take the word of God out of their heart. Well, who do you think he uses? Lest they should believe and be saved. He can use warring churches. Show me what percentage of evangelical churches are left that aren't at war. Smashing up, just divided. How many churches break up and break up and break up? And they say it's doctrinal. Let me tell you what it is. People are so unyielded to God that they can't be in subjection to anybody else but those who subject to them. Otherwise, it's the end. Warring churches. Where do you find souls? And now you try and bring them to hear truth. In what percentage of evangelical churches are war with each other? They can't. The younger cannot be in subjection to the older. It's they taking over the music. They taking over this. Tell me something. Are you at war? Be careful if ye bite and devour one another. Take heed that ye be not consumed one of another, Paul says. And so people come in to hear the gospel. You drag them. You're the one all praying for them to come, but you're at war. Do you think the devil won't use that? Do you think they won't sense immediately this people hate each other? They hear the word. It's true, they're impacted, but they sense. Do you think they won't sense? These people aren't forgiving. They don't love each other. They're literally at war. There's hatred here. You know, they don't know this is in the Bible, but Jesus said this about people who don't know that this is what he said. So think about this. They shall know you are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. They don't even know that they know it, but if they sense hatred, no matter what faithful preaching went from the pulpit, they'll say no. They'll just withdraw from this atmosphere of what they'll know. And do you think the devil won't let them know? I wonder what percentage of people are going to hell who sat in evangelical churches hearing truth, but the devil took the truth out of their heart because of the people who invited them, who can't love one another. Above all things, have fervent love among yourselves. Is that above all things? Not love, fervent love. Love that's only possible if you're totally yielded to God. Love suffereth long and is kind. That love that they would sense, not just I love you, but you can subject to other people. You don't have to be the one who fights back, you know. Warring. And the issues are so ridiculous, most of them. Instead of just sticking to the blood of Christ and the truth, and not to be at war against every little issue. that comes up and fight and war and be contentious and deliberately bring up contentious things. Oh. Tell me, I'm going to shock you now. Are you available for Satan to use to take the word of God out of their hearts? Not devilish people, I'm talking about preachers. Are you available? He'll use any means available, and he does, and he has. Are you available? Liberal theologians, preachers who know God themselves, though you know the warning signals God gave you, and all those who have fallen that were famous, and the damage it brought to Christ's name, the blaspheme to this day by the sinners against this God because you stood for God but you didn't guard. Tell me, are you available? You friends who aren't here for God, here to play the fool, and everyone knows that around you. Well, how many times are you going to come before you walk out of here able to encourage those that are sitting beside you instead of taking away the word of God by joking when you walk out that door? You're not going through with God. Are you available? And the devil sees you're not here. You're here to play the... Tell me, are you available for Satan to use? You and your families. You think these people haven't been used or can't be used or won't? Are you available for the devil to use? Right now, I dare you to answer God in your heart and say yes or no to God. I dare you. Even if you're a young boy or girl, or a preacher, or a leader of cheap churches that are smashed up and warring against each other, or liberal in your theology. Tell me, are you available? Now here's even a worse question. Saul, are you going to allow the devil to use any of these things? Have you allowed the devil already? And will you continue to allow the devil to use these things that we've heard of, that knowing the devil will come immediately through any means available? And I'm looking at every means available in the light of the scriptures. Somehow based on this, what God warned must be in our lives, whether we're preachers or churches or just a professing Christian. What damage will come? Every warning. Every story, even of David. It's just a warning, a warning. Don't let this be the case with you to do that damage. Tell me, are you available? Are you going to allow the devil to keep you from seeking God because of these things that you know? Christ said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Guard yourself now. Guard yourself. Don't close your heart. Don't close your heart to what I'm saying. You can. Hear what I say the devil can do, what I'm warning you of, could happen to you. If it hasn't happened already, guard yourself. Don't close your heart and mind and understanding and your conscience to the workings of the Holy Spirit to you as an individual through what's happened in your life, through what the devil's doing right now or has been doing. Don't close your heart. If you have ears to hear, listen carefully for God's sake now. He's the one that cried out that you can close your heart. Now is the acceptable time, Jesus said. Today is the day of salvation. If you will harden not your hearts, don't blame God. Now I can save you today. If you will harden not your hearts, as in the day of provocation, as they did in the day of provocation, you can harden your hearts. You can walk away from Jesus and say yes to the devil by hardening your heart. Listen, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. They on the rock, Jesus said, are they which when they hear, and this is shocking. They on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy. Did that happen to you? Is that your testimony? Do you remember hearing the word and receiving with joy. There wasn't opposition, there wasn't bad friends, there wasn't family punches in your face telling you you want to go through with God or threatening you. There wasn't liberal theologians. They in the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy. Did that happen to you? But wait, did this go on to happen to you? Because that's not the end of what happened here. After you came out and responded and received with joy the word, the preaching of the gospel of Christ, and these have no root, Jesus said, I believe with a heavy heart, these have no root which for a while believe. And in time of temptation, fall away. Which for a while believe. Oh yes, listen. Hebrews 3 verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. What doctrine is this? Don't worry. I'm just quoting scriptures. I'm not taking a side, okay? So forgive me. If you're on a side that can't quote scriptures, get out of it. Either side. Listen what God's word says. Don't ask me the context. There's no context. It just happens to be right now what God says. So don't tell me not to quote what God says, sir. And don't brand me. Just listen carefully to what I say before you brand me. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. I want to repeat that to every single one of you, even you theologians that are there in the pulpit to defend the doctrine but aren't there for the soul. We are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. God says. Not me. So if you're angry, please don't be angry with me for quoting what God says. Hebrews 10 verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. Those who are rightly related to God are rightly related to Him as a result of faith. By faith. The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, to spiritual destruction, that word means. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Not which is for a while believe. God doesn't tell you the exact dates, times, they vary. And then when all comes against you, fall away. One John 2 verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. I want to repeat that. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. 2 Peter 2 verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, don't get angry with me, I'm just quoting the Bible. If that's acceptable with you, sir, you quote. I dare you to quote this. And don't tell me I don't quote what you quote. I quote every side, so that's why nobody knows where I stand. But that's good. At least both come to hear. Maybe sometimes they catch me at my words, I don't know. But at least I'm not branded just to one little side, because all I want is souls. I'm not here for a doctrine. The day you stand to defend a doctrine, get out of the pulpit, please. If you're not there for the soul alone, not people, not acceptance in some particular movement. Oh no, be careful. 2 Peter 2 verse 20. For if after they have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, if after they have escaped the pollutions in the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But that doesn't mean that you can't seek God again if you've landed up once seeking and trying and going on. And that doesn't mean that you can't seek God again. Do you know what's the point in Christ telling you, you that have ears to hear, let him hear, if you can't do anything now, if there's no hope of, because somehow it didn't work the first time that you put your heart into it. Listen, put your heart in counting the cost this time and allowing the seed to go so deep in truth that true salvation comes, because if you haven't counted the cost, he warns you from the beginning, you'll never end the building. This time, no matter what you know is coming, because you know what's coming and what it's going to demand of you to stay on the road this time, in truth. Oh, doesn't mean that you can't seek God with all your heart. What on earth are you preaching for if you're just preaching to say people can't have any choice in the matter, that they can't? Oh, what is that? There, what is that? That's disgusting. Preacher, don't preach unless you preach to people with your whole being that can respond. Anything. Oh, it does not mean that you can't seek God if you've landed up worse state than you were before you sought in the first place. Oh, no, no, no. God never says a word in his book that doesn't cry out to you to come on, get up and try again, but this time know what you're about, what it's going to cost. The devil uses scriptures, you know. Don't doubt it. The devil knows the Bible. And he quotes scripture. I mean, when he came to Christ, to tempt Christ, he only quoted scriptures. That's the whole thing. The devil uses scriptures. That's why there's so many sects, like Jehovah's Witnesses and everybody. They use scriptures. But the trouble with the devil using scriptures and the people who... they don't stand in the light of all the other scriptures. And the only true interpretation of any scripture you ever quote or passage is if in the rest of the scriptures, the light of the whole Bible concerning that doctrine, your interpretation is not contradicted and undermined by any other scriptures concerning what you're speaking about. So that's why it's good to preach both. Or you'll be ashamed one day if you're just there for a doctrine that defies half the Bible. To keep that doctrine stand. Satan uses scriptures. He used it to come to the devil, but he uses scriptures. He used it to come to Jesus. But Jesus, just using scriptures back, put it in its context. That it didn't mean what the devil's saying ultimately. Now be careful. Satan uses scriptures to make people that believe they can't seek God again because it didn't work. They're in a worse state now than they were the first, and they've read scriptures that tell them they can't ever seek God again. Do you know the devil uses such scriptures? I could go on. There was a sermon once I preached When the godly fall, many of you might have heard it, but there was a whole section just in the scriptures the devil uses. But listen to scriptures Satan uses. Don't doubt this. He's used this to so many people to keep them from ever attempting to think there's hope that God will ever look at them again, because it didn't work out the first time. They've gone back to sin. He uses the scripture. Don't doubt it. Even to many preachers that I've had to sit with that believe they've committed the unpardonable sin. They can't ever be forgiven again because they went back to sin. Listen, Hebrews 6 verse 4. It is impossible. I want you to listen carefully. In case the devil's using these scriptures to you. It is impossible for those who were once enlightened, have tasted of the heavenly gift, were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, have tasted of the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. It's impossible if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to open shame. Now, beloved, I love the King James. And I don't want to stand here defending the King James. There's too many people doing that. Well, I don't want to stop them. Hallelujah. I just quote that. I don't stoop to quote other versions. Forgive me, because most of those versions are not of God. I'm diverting, and I'm so tempted. You people that wrote those versions, that knew you were misquoting the originals because of bias, defiance of what God really said. What are you going to say to Jesus when he asks you, why did you leave out of over 50% of new translations the term the blood of Jesus Christ? The whole Bible doesn't contain it. Why? Why? And if God asks you, you're not trembling at me, but when God does in a moment and that's all you've got, what are you going to say? That you left out the virgin birth. You put a maid. That's not a virgin, sir. Why? God's word said virgin. Why? So much percentage of the new translations are not of God. Oh, so much is lovely and interesting and even enlightening, I suppose you could say. Be careful. If they leave out the vital things, watch it. You will too. You won't know about them. Poor souls that believe in those translations, that people will be judged doing the translations against the known will of God, against light, taking out that which isn't there and putting in that which wasn't there to defy God. That's all they're doing. But I love the King James. I'm not foolish enough to say that every single word is totally understandable. But I will say this much. I understand these and thous. If you can't understand what thee and thou means, I'm sorry for you. I love this book. I've never had difficulties with it. And brother, the few little words here and there that really need explaining. Well, why don't you just go to a Strong's? You don't have to go to new versions, like Good News for Modern Man, which is the worst news modern man ever had in history. And I hope the author hears it. This King James was used until this generation, you and me, as the main 90-something percent of every Christian, and always by the deeply conservative. This generation, suddenly we have to have other things. Suddenly we can't understand what every generation who speaks the exact language, they understood these and thous, okay? And so we should too. And I love the King James. There's a reverence. There's no familiarity with God. There's a depth. There's something of an ability 100-fold more times that you can quote the scriptures speaking to the King James than any other version, which you probably don't even know is the Bible when you're trying to quote it or listen to it. It's so watered down to what men say. It should. No, I believe we should, and I don't want to stand here defending it. I said to one man who said to me, won't you come and give a tour just lecturing on why we should stick to the King James? I said, no, all I do is just quote the King James. It's good enough. I've quoted it across the world. And multitudes have just walked from that meeting and thrown down their new versions and picked up and said, the devil lied to us. We do understand it. And there's a sense of God's presence when this is quoted that we don't understand or sense through these other versions. So I don't have to defend it. I just quote it. But in this sermon, I'm just daring to explain one or two things as my motives here. Listen, sometimes there's a word, I have to admit it, that needs just... Your common sense tells you, but that isn't what the rest of the scriptures seem to be saying. So you just pick up a Strong's. It isn't going to cost you much. It'll probably cost you less than if you take your family for a meal. Some interlinear Greek...